Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 19th, primary election day in Wisconsin. We will try to avoid active, blatant campaigning this hour for the candidate of your choice and try to concentrate on the process and the system that is in place in the Democratic Party that gives superdelegates a lot of power come convention time. We are going to be talking with a superdelegate this hour, Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind from La Crosse, who represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, covering much of western Wisconsin, who is calling for an end to the superdelegate system and is calling for more reforms to change the presidential nomination process. We will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Some are speculating that superdelegates may very well determine the Democratic nominee for president. What if, for example, Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, for that matter, go all the way to the convention without either one of them getting the required number of delegates needed to be crowned the nominee? And what if the superdelegates then get to decide who the nominee is, and it isn't the candidate who got most of the popular vote or who is leading with most of the regular delegates come convention time? What would you think of that? Would that upset you, or is that the way the game is played? Are those the rules that are in place now, and shouldn't cry over spilt milk? Well, we will welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let me welcome our guest, Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District and superdelegate. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. The big day has finally arrived.
It is here, yeah.
And I'm sure that, as lovely as Wisconsin is, I'm sure all the candidates are looking forward to doing a little campaigning in Texas, where it's probably a little warmer and less snowy these days.
That's right. Well, you don't think we're going to try not to do a lot of vote for this person or vote for that person,
right,
on primary day itself.
Sure.
But do you think that our bitterly cold weather today and maybe some snow showers is going to affect turnout at all today, or do you think we're used to this in February?
I don't think it will. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy surrounding this campaign. A lot of people have been looking forward to this Tuesday for quite some time, and hey, we're Wisconsinites. We're used to a little bit of cold and bitter weather this time of year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. A lot of people are fired up about this particular election. We didn't in Wisconsin think that we were going to matter at all or have a say at all, and now it looks like we'll have a big say. But we also are hearing that both of the Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, might not, the way the delegates are distributed proportionately, may not have the required number of delegates come convention time. So then you're going to decide who the nominee is.
Yikes. And God help us off if that's what it comes down to. Yeah, a lot of people have been forecasting this for quite some time. And when you have such a close competitive race like we do here on the Democratic side, it does tend to expose the warts in the system, the process of how we're nominating. And even as a superdelegate, and I do take my responsibility seriously, I think it's a flawed system. I think it's very anti-democratic if it does ultimately come down to superdelegates making the final determination. And it just smacks of this elitism, a bunch of power brokers in some back rooms cutting deals in order to decide who's going to be the nominee for the party. And if we want to encourage more people to participate, especially young people, and it's exciting to see, a lot of the younger people getting involved and actively engaged, you can't be out there sending mixed signals that your vote's important unless it's too close to call, and then we turn it over to these people in select positions and offices in the country.
Yeah, and so you've written to Democratic Party Chair Howard Dean to try to change the system?
I have. And, you know, what I'm proposing, obviously you can't do this year. I mean, we're halfway through the nomination process. The rules have been established. The candidates agree to those rules, and you can't be switching that up at the last minute. Well, what I'm proposing is as we move forward in the next election, for the chairman, Howard Dean, to convene a task force to look at our nominating process and come back with some needed reforms. We have to revamp a system that I don't think is serving the voter all that well, beginning with abolishing the superdelegate status. Yeah. I really don't see a role for that in the future.
And you're a superdelegate because you're a congressional representative.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And those who are on the DNC board are also superdelegates. So I guess there's a college student over at Marquette who's also a superdelegate.
Yeah.
But most people are astounded when they find out that close to 20% of all the delegate votes that will be cast are superdelegates. One out of every five vote is a superdelegate. That's an astoundingly high number in this nomination process.
Yeah, this the system hasn't been with us forever, but it was established in 80, or when was it
in the early 80s, mm-hmm. and I've been trying to do some research to find out the justifications for it, and I'm sure there were a lot of bright individuals back at that time who felt this made a lot of sense, but boy, you know, you got to wonder, especially given the closeness of this race, and I really hate to see it, but it looks more and more likely that given the proportional, you know, divvying up the delegate votes, it's going to be very difficult for either Senator Clinton or Obama to get over the top for the convention this summer.
And you have vowed your superdelegate vote will go to the candidate who wins the 3rd Congressional District.
I did. You know, I announced that early last week that I'm going to keep faith with the voters here in western Wisconsin and respect their choice today, whoever that might be, and that's where my superdelegate vote is going to go.
Our guest is Ron Kind. He is Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District U.S. Representative, and he is a superdelegate, talking about the superdelegate system and changes that he would like to see. He would like to end the superdelegate system, and we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 19th. Coming up this afternoon, during At Issue with Ben Marins, the Wisconsin state budget is at risk of deficit as the economy cools. Ben will be talking about the budget issues facing the state of Wisconsin coming up after 5 with Todd Berry, the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. That's this afternoon after 5. Right now, we're talking with one of Wisconsin's superdelegates, 3rd District Democratic Congress member Ron Kind, who is pushing for an end to the superdelegate system and who is vowing to cast his superdelegate vote for the candidate who wins his congressional district today, be that Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Our lines are full right now, so let's go straight to the phones. Jeff in, I'm not sure where Jeff is from. Are you from Walworth County, Jeff?
That's correct.
Hi.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
I think the super lousy delegate idea is just that. I think there's basically an ability to thwart the will of the voter. There's a definite chance, at least in my case, I've already voted this morning. It did alter my thinking on the vote, and I had a question on how likely you think it will be for the, you know, the powers in the Democratic Party to actually sit up and take notice and make a change.
Well, I sure hope so, Jeff. You know, I reached out and contacted Chairman Dean, asking him to convene a commission or task force to look at this specifically, so we can start revamping it. And obviously with a competitive race, it does tend to highlight the flaws. And my letter that I sent to him not only advocated abolishing the superdelegate, but other, I think, needed reforms on the Democratic side. One is to prevent the leapfrogging that's going on from state to state and go to a regional rotating primary instead with a mix of states that will take turns as to who goes first every 4 years. Another one is encouraging states to adopt what we have here in Wisconsin, which is an open primary system, so people can come on the day and register and vote including independents or even some moderate Republicans who want to participate. And that way you're opening up the process even more. These caucuses that have been set up, I think it encourages low turnout. It's run by the parties instead of the state election agencies. And I think whenever you have an election, it should be state election agencies with rules in place that monitor elections. And you don't get that with the caucuses. And then finally, we got to figure out a way to push back the start date of this whole process so that families during the holidays aren't bombarded with constant political advertisements or robocalls or having their mailboxes stocked full of political campaign material. And there's no reason why we can't push back the first primary date to early spring again, rather than seeing it move up and up and up and have these endless nonstop campaigns.
I definitely agree with pushing that date back, you know, for a lot of them. I also had a question about the money influence for the superdelegates. It just seems to leave a bad taste, at least in my mouth, with the potential for all sorts of, you know.
What money situation, Jeff?
It seems like the possibility for offering superdelegates money or positions or favors, or it just seems like it's not the right system to have for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, seems. I don't know if you're being offered money, Ron Kind, but I bet you are. Maybe getting your arm twisted a little bit, aren't you?
Well, no money's been offered to me. Obviously, there have been campaigns, phone calls, candidates calling, asking for support, and that. But I did hear, you know, that someone was crunching some numbers, and there's some report out there that shows the amount of money that each of the campaigns have sent to these so-called superdelegates. And again, that's where it becomes very unseemly, because it looks like potentially the superdelegate vote could be bought and paid for. And I think that's absolutely the wrong message that should be out there.
Yeah. Well, what about, superdelegates who are, you're saying that you're going to cast your vote for the winner of the 3rd Congressional District. There are a lot of superdelegates out there who are actively campaigning and very publicly endorsing one candidate or another. Do you think that's the wrong way to go?
Well, you know, it's an individual choice, and I think a lot of those who came out early in support of a particular candidate or an endorsement did things for some personal reasons, either the relationship they've already built up with that type of person, certain issues that they care deeply about. And so I don't fault someone who wants to get out early and say, hey, I really believe this is the right person for the right job at the right time, which is, you know, perfectly fine. But let's not also elevate that status or endorsement to some important vote that might be cast at the end of the process, too. It's one thing for people with some experience working with these individuals to come out and explain why they support a particular candidate, but let's also let the voters have a significant say in this process, too.
Yeah, so what happens, Ron Kind, the way I understand this superdelegate system was put in place to make this decision, should the two candidates come to the convention virtually tied? Don't we need something to break the tie?
Well, yeah, but then again, we do have a general election, too, and we seem to do just fine without having any type of super delegate or super vote to determine the outcome in the general election. And there's no reason why you can't also take a look at how these delegates are being apportioned and figure out if there's a happy medium here. I think on the Democratic side, the way the rules are set up with the strict apportionment of these delegates from state to state, it makes it very hard in a competitive race for someone to reach that magical number. And on the Republican side, not that it's any place for me to say, I think it's a little too easy. It's more of a winner-take-all type of system on the Republican side, and it's a little bit easier for an individual to get over the top rather than having those delegates apportioned. So maybe there's some common ground here in the middle somewhere that would make a lot more sense.
Mark in New Berlin is with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I voted this morning, and there were lines, so I don't think the weather's keeping too many people away.
Yeah, I bet not.
I got a couple comments I thought of while I was talking. I'm thinking of Michigan and Florida. It looks like you might be changing the rules there, and I'm wondering what's going to happen with that. And were those superdelegates excluded? And I guess the last comment for Michigan and Florida were that I guess the delegation was going to be excluded, but I wonder if that applied to the superdelegates. And what if it got so close that it was one superdelegate that got to decide, and, you know, it's the former president? who might be married to someone who's running.
is Bill Clinton a superdelegate, Ron Kind? Do you know?
I believe he is. Yeah. Yes, as a former president, he's also a superdelegate. Boy, that'd be very interesting, wouldn't it? That'd make for high drama there. I'm not sure what the answer is with the superdelegates from Michigan and Florida, but again, it speaks to the problem we have with the nominating process, that you have huge, significant states like Michigan and Florida where their delegates now are slated to be excluded. And it was because of this leapfrogging problem that we had. States moved without the party's permission. Actually, down in Florida, it was the Republican legislature that decided to move up the date, and now the Democratic delegates are the ones being punished for that. It was beyond their control. But I think that comes back to, you know, why not have rotating regional primaries so we can avoid this leapfrogging and that violation that's going on with party rules. But I'm not sure if the superdelegates from those states are also excluded. I would assume they would be, but I don't know the answer. If nothing else, I think this is going to lead to some high drama at the Democratic Party convention in Denver this summer if it does come down to superdelegates making this determination.
Yeah, the superdelegates in terms of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, looking at news accounts here, Representatives Gwen Moore and Dave Obey have come out for Senator Barack Obama, while Representative Tammy Baldwin is backing Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. It says here that the other lawmakers are not committed, including you, Ron Kind.
Yeah, and I think Steve Kagan also announced last week that he's going to honor the wishes of his congressional district, too, and follow the voters' choice. And I'm talking to a lot of my colleagues out in Washington who are announcing the same type of thing. Tim Walz right across the river in Minnesota did the same thing. Bruce Braley in Iowa. So I think you may see more delegates making this determination, too.
Yeah. Governor Doyle is a superdelegate, too.
That's right.
Yeah, yep. And he's obviously out campaigning for Barack Obama.
Right.
Tim in Exonia. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to say that the superdelegates and the Electoral College should be done away with. The democracy that we should live in should be based on majority votes. Who gets the majority of the public votes wins, period. No delegates, no Electoral College making up the decision for us. It seems that the government doesn't trust the people to elect who they want. And going back to the 2000 election, that was not the first time that a president was appointed by the Electoral College without receiving the popular vote. The whole system needs to be changed back to popular vote wins.
Thank you, Tim. You're calling for an end to superdelegates, but you're not calling for an end to the Electoral College. Are you a Representative Kind?
No, I haven't. You know, obviously there was a lot of attention after the 2000 election when Al Gore got the popular vote, but not the Electoral College vote. I was hoping there'd be some greater scrutiny, but there you're talking about amending the Constitution, which is a very drawn-out process. It takes many years to do because the Electoral College is embedded in our Constitution, unlike the party rules, which you can change any time as long as you get consensus within the party.
Yeah, we're talking about proposed changes to those party rules coming from our guest, Ron Kind, U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a superdelegate calling for an end to the superdelegate system. And we'll welcome more of your calls and questions for him after we check the latest news from National Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy primary election day in Wisconsin, Tuesday, February the 19th. We are talking this hour with Ron Kind. He is a Democratic U.S. representative from La Crosse, representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which covers much of western Wisconsin. He's also a superdelegate, as are the other members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation and other elected officials and other party members. Superdelegates they may determine the Democratic presidential nominee. if the race for president on the Democratic side goes all the way to the convention without Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama getting the number of delegates needed to be named the nominee. And the total is delegates needed on the Democratic side, 2,025. If neither, after all the primaries and caucuses are through, neither candidate has the number of delegates to be the nominee, it's going to be up to the super delegates. And some are saying that's not a good sign. We wonder what you say, what questions you have. Our guest, Ron Kind, says that he wants the Democratic Party to do away, to end this super delegate system. And he's also calling for some other reforms to the nomination process. But he is also vowing to cast his super delegate vote for the candidate who wins his congressional district today. And let's go back to the phones and take our next caller, Nancy in Wauwatosa. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I agree with the prior caller about the public's concern about the Electoral College also, and I was disappointed with Mr. Kine's response that because it would take a lot of effort, it's not worth doing. But my question to him is, why would he promise his vote to just the people in his district? If he's truly concerned about democracy, wouldn't it be more democratic to pledge his vote for the way the entire state went?
Well, first of all, Nancy, I didn't say let's not look at the Electoral College. I just said it's going to be more cumbersome and more time intensive because you have to amend the Constitution. I agree with a lot of the people who think we have to take another look at the Electoral College because of how some of the elections have turned out in the past. But the superdelegates are apportioned based on congressional districts as well. And I represent the 3rd Congressional District. I don't represent Wauwatosa or Milwaukee or any other area of the state. So I'm going to stay faithful to the voters in my congressional district and honor their choice today. That's just the determination that I've made.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nancy. And again, your letter to Democratic Party Chair Howard Dean says end the use of superdelegates, and you recommended some other reforms to the nomination process that could simply be done through changing party rules.
That's right, yep. And that's something they could do in time for the next election if they want.
Yeah. David in Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm from Michigan, the ones that didn't get counted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should only, the people who are responsible for moving the thing forward should be punished. You know, the superdelegates, all the people that voted to change the date to the earlier date, punish them, not the ordinary voters. And also, the fact that Michigan, the highest unemployment in the nation, the worst Democratic voters, I mean, you know, they're in the worst situation, not having a voice in the who's going to be president. What does that say about the democracy? I think they should count Florida votes. Michigan, we can't even go back to a vote count. We have to rehold the primary or rehold the caucuses or something, because that's the only way to solve this. And as far as Electoral College, why don't they just go by congressional district instead of have a winner-take-all? We don't have to amend the Constitution. You just say that whoever wins which congressional district, so the electoral votes would be split up in the states. And also, if
no,
you go to...
David, I'm sorry, you've got a lot of also's here. So do you think Representative Kind, putting the Electoral College aside, we're not really focusing on that this hour, do you think that some sort of deal will be reached so that the delegates from Michigan and Florida will be seated at the convention?
Well, I think, you know, David highlighted the problem. We're in a major, major problem. How do you silence the voices of two states like Michigan and Florida? And yet the candidates had agreed beforehand that given the jumping of those primary dates, that they would be excluded. So, and obviously, you know, Senator Clinton won Florida, and there are a number of delegates down there that would go her way. So it's going to be a major problem if it comes to the convention. And these delegates in Michigan and Florida could determine the outcome as well. So, and again, this is what we're seeing now with this leapfrogging going on from state to state to state. And then you had so many states that decided to
have their primary or caucus state on Super Tuesday. So you ended up with 24 states all having their election on the same day, and there's no way a campaign can get into each of those areas in any significant amount of time. So there's got to be a better way of figuring out who's going to be going. And I think, you know, the best idea that I've heard is the rotating regional primary type of system. And that way you give some states an opportunity to go first from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could hear the frustration in David's voice as a voter who felt his vote wasn't going to be counted.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what voters are going to say if they feel the will of the voters is overturned or changed by the superdelegates?
It could look very unseemly, too, as far as the political jockeying and the horse trading taking place in Denver, if it does come down to the superdelegates making the choice.
And do you think, though, that the superdelegates, no matter what their personal political preferences are today, that they actually would do such a thing to anger the voters of the country by doing that? Don't you think they might say, well, you know, I'm going to go with the winner of most of the votes or most of the delegates and not my candidate?
Well, I think, you know, speaking to a lot of the superdelegates, there's such a yearning for change in a new direction that my guess is many of them who are undecided would go to the candidate who they think is going to fare best in November, mm-hmm. who's most electable at the time. But having said that, I mean, there are obviously a lot of personal relationships that go into the decision as well.
Yeah. Corey in Platteville, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, yes, I have a question actually about the math of the magic number, the 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Does that take into account the fact that there's 366 delegates that aren't being counted from Florida and Michigan?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know, Ron Kind?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The principle of it is 50% plus one delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've eliminated 366 delegates, shouldn't that number be adjusted?
Yeah, it would be adjusted downwards a little bit. That's a good question.
A little bit by 186 delegates.
That's right.
That's not a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we can see if there's anything, any speculation about that on any news sources as to whether or not that, I have a feeling that that's the magic number and that would include Michigan and Florida because that's the number. They didn't change that when the DNC decided to sanction Michigan and Florida, as far as you know, right, Ron Kind?
That's right. Yeah. And you think about it, you do the numbers and you have superdelegates over 800. That's, you know, almost half of the total number that you need for the nomination right there alone.
Yeah, and I see here that 74 delegates are at stake today in Wisconsin. And the way this works is if one candidate, gets 51% of the vote and the other one gets 49% of the vote, those delegates will pretty much be split between the two candidates.
That's right.
Next, we go to, who do we go to next? I think we go to Margaret next in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I certainly understand that you would vote for whoever your district votes for, and that's fine, except you can't guarantee, right, if I'm understanding all this, that all of the superdelegates would do that. So right there, to my attitude, it's sort of like whatever the voters in general across the country want should be what everyone should just be going with, and then, like you say, eliminate this whole superdelegate thing. My attitude is, if this does turn into, and as far as that thing about the Michigan and the Florida thing, I am just appalled if the party changes and all of a sudden says, well, Hillary was on the ballot, so she gets to have all those delegates. That would be so unfair to those people. So that's my comment on that. But I most likely will never vote again if the superdelegates do not choose whoever it is. And I can live with either Obama or Hillary. It doesn't really matter to me all that much. But I'm telling you, if they do that, that means that this is really just nothing but a big machine. And whoever that party wants gets in there. And that is unfair. Because I have heard this going on in the Democratic Party since back when Bush was elected, that they were all set up to get Hillary in there. And I would be so convinced that it is nothing more than a machine, and that we really don't have a vote at all. I wouldn't go to Republican. I just would refuse to vote.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
Obviously, you sense the frustration in her voice, too, and there's a lot of that out there, and that's the feedback I've been getting, Joy, throughout my congressional district. And I'm not aware, and even as a superdelegate, I'm not aware of any grand conspiracy to rig the rules so that one individual is going to be assured the nomination. I'm sure there's some thought on the Internet or wherever that that's going on, but if it is, I'm absolutely clueless that it's going on.
Yeah, and that's the kind of, alienation that you're trying to avoid by getting rid of this superdelegate system.
Right. And I think the key here is to keep it simple. And when you make it too convoluted, you have too many complex rules and this and that going on, that tends to lead to these conspiracy theories then, that something is up behind the scenes. There's no accountability and no proper oversight as far as the nomination process.
We're going to check weather. I'm sorry, we need to check weather, and then we'll continue taking your questions for Ron Kind, superdelegate and U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 19th. Coming up after 8, we talk with the author of Superior Nebraska, The Common Sense Values of America's Heartland. That's coming up after 8. Right now, we are talking with one of Wisconsin's super delegates, 3rd District Democratic Congressmember Ron Kind, who is calling for an end to the superdelegate system in future elections, and who is vowing to cast his superdelegate vote for the candidate who wins his congressional district today, be that Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this superdelegate system and the possibility, the potential that the superdelegates will decide who the nominee will be in the Democratic Party, for the Democratic Party. It could be, because superdelegates can vote whichever way they want, it could be the candidate who got most of the popular vote or who is leading with most of the regular delegates at convention time or not. It could, superdelegates could elect the candidate who's losing. Paul in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, this is an answer. Oh, good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
This is an answer to that person from Platteville. They don't know what the majority is yet because the state delegations will present their delegate credentials to the credentials committee before the start of the convention. And once the credentials have been accepted and the delegates are then going to be seated at the convention, they will know what the number is, and then they'll be able to figure out what the majority is. As is, without an agreement, the Michigan and Florida people will not be seated. And so then they will work from there. But if they reach an agreement, then the credentials committee will seat them, and there will be an agreement in place on how those delegates are supposed to be distributed. And then we will know what the majority is. I mean, there could be other things, too, coming up. In 72, we wouldn't let George Meade sit down because we didn't like him. And well, that's one of the reasons we now have superdelegates. But I think that right now it's, everyone has forgotten the credentials committee. And that's going to be the critical place where people are going to finally decide who gets to sit down and who doesn't.
Yeah, but even with the credentials committee and who gets to sit down and who doesn't, we still could have two Democratic candidates that don't have the number of delegates needed to be declared the nominee, right, Paul?
Absolutely. But that's why in a way I understand why the congressman is voting the way he is. But I think that the superdelegates should vote their preferences and not what their district is. They were set up; those positions were set up for those people to exercise that right of their own judgment. They're politicians, they know what's going on, and they should make the decision based on their own judgment, not actually on their district. It's not supposed to be democratic.
How come? I mean, isn't that going to disenfranchise, alienate a whole bunch of democratic voters, Paul?
Yeah, but so what? I mean, they put superdelegates in because of George McGovern in 72. Frank Harris in 76 scared the Democrats to death. And they didn't want some group, some movement, to take over the party. They never anticipated two extraordinarily qualified candidates like we have right now coming down to the last vote. This was never no one saw this coming. they thought that there would be some insurgent movement that would take over the party, and they wanted some cooler heads to prevail and say, no, you're not going to do this. And that's why superdelegates were put in place. And it's just an unfortunate convergence of two different things that superdelegates find themselves in the position they're in right now. We never thought this would happen.
That we'd have two very qualified candidates.
Groundbreaking, very qualified. It's a political phenomenon. It's never happened anywhere in the world like this before. And suddenly the superdelegates find themselves in a position that no one intended for them to be in.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what the rationale was for the superdelegate system, Ron Kind. What about that? Did it make some sense the way Paul puts it?
You know, Paul gave the best explanation of the justification, if there is one, behind the superdelegates. You know, they're supposed to act like the saucer to cool the soup from election to election. And these are those who are most committed and devoted to the party and to the future of the party. And I knew there was someone out there with an answer in regards to the Platteville question, and sure enough, Paul had it.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Paul, for the call. Well, yeah, so the superdelegate system, though, might make some sense. Let's just put a hypothetical out there that there is some mischief going on in all these open primaries, and the candidate that might be leading with delegates is... I don't know, a Joe conspiracy theory candidate who the Democrats think is going to just be an absolute loser in the fall. And so then the superdelegates can make sure things are all right by putting the qualified candidate in there.
Yeah, and you risk disenfranchising many voters out there when you do that, because it seems as if that decision is being taken away from them and going to higher authorities in the party. And I just fundamentally don't believe that any person, regardless of office or position, should have their vote count more than your typical voter out there.
Gene in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Really, the problem, get rid of the superdelegates. Go back to those glory days of 1972. Take your chances on democracy. But also, enforce the Voting Rights Act of 1964. I wonder if you have a problem in New York City and Harlem where certain people weren't counted, or the 100,000 people in L.A. County which were not counted. This whole issue, which both political parties refuse to cover, and if you even bring it up, it's a conspiracy theory, only there are plenty of facts out there. Unless you come up with a system which guarantees that people's votes will be counted. And since you can't guarantee that, you come up with a system which puts in checks and balances which aren't controlled by the powers that be. And I believe the Credentials Committee has a whole bunch of Clinton people on it. Thank you for taking my call.
Gene wanted to get in there that our votes may not count anyway if voting machines are faulty.
Right. That sounds like a whole other program.
Yeah, it does. Jerry in Neillsville. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, great. Thank you. You know, Ron, I agree with everything you're saying, and all I want to say is shame on the Democratic Party for taking the vote from the people. Shame on what they've done in Florida and Michigan. I'm appalled by this. I heard about this several years ago. I thought, no, that can't be happening in my democracy. Now, do the Republicans have anything similar to this in their votes? Thank you.
No, they don't have so-called superdelegates in their nominating process, but it's more geared to the winner-take-all type of system. They don't have as many delegates, period, in their nomination process. So I think there are some differences there, and there's no reason why the Democratic Party can't take a few cues as to how the Republicans are nominating their candidates.
John in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just had a point for Mr. Kind, and first of all, I appreciate the fact that he's bringing this up to eliminate this. I think it's a poor system. But I heard him mentioned earlier that he would vote his district, and I was comfortable with that until I was thinking about it a little bit more and thought about the rest of the state. There's areas that certainly have a Republican representative, and so as it goes to the convention, if he only votes his district, there are going to be pockets of the state of people who voted in the Democratic Party that would not have representation then, because they're not going to have a delegate there, a superdelegate.
Right.
And he's also part of the state and how the state feels about the system. And there's going to be, if every representative voted strictly their district, then you're going to disenfranchise many people who have voted in the primary from an additional vote.
John, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate it, but what you're describing is the inherent difficulty you have when you have Democrats in a Republican district. They don't then have a voice or a vote in Washington representing them in Congress, too. I don't know if there is a perfectly right answer on how superdelegates should exercise this great responsibility, but for me it made sense that I reflect, you know, the wishes of the district that I'm responsible for representing, and that's my district here in western Wisconsin.
Yeah. So are you in Wisconsin to vote in person today, Representative
Kind? I am.
Kind?
Yes, enjoying the fine weather.
Stay warm.
Yes, we will.
Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joy.
Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from La Crosse, representing the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, which is most of western Wisconsin, talking with us on this primary election day about the letter that he sent Howard Dean, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, a letter urging the end of the use of superdelegates and other reforms that he'd like to see to the presidential nomination process. Ron Kind, a superdelegate himself, who says he will cast his superdelegate vote later this summer at the Democratic convention to the candidate who wins the 3rd Congressional District. We thank him for being with us. We thank Karen Prager for producing this hour. We thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.